This week's parashah is Pesach, day 8, and it comes from Deuteronomy 14:22 through 16:17 and Numbers 28:19 through 25. Passover took place in the spring, and it commemorated the way the children of Israel were released from Egypt. This parashah, like the others, contains many messages from which we are to learn how to live our lives, to follow the instructions of Adonai, our Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy 14 teaches us about tithing. How does a man learn to fear the Lord, to be amazed by Him, to have respect for Him? One of the ways is by tithing, because when a person tithes, they begin to see the miracles take place. Trust me, God says, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so big your hearts can't contain it. That's from Malachi 3:10. It's the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. Many times people resent hearing sermons about tithing. It's not until they experience Adonai's generosity and love for us that they begin to understand the purpose of tithing is to bless the giver and not so much the receiver. God loves a person who gives cheerfully and gladly. It's a big mistake to feel obligated to give. It's a privilege to say, Lord, I am honoring you in the way you asked me to. If it's not a privilege for you, don't do it. However, you'll find that things go better when you obey Him and not so good when you don't. When He asks us to give to Him, it's not only for His glory, but for our own good. God has a plan for us, and the only reason we're not totally free from financial issues is that we're not following His instructions. In addition to the tithes, which were for providing for the Levites or the priests and for the poor people, was a sabbatical release. Every 7 years, there was to be a period of rest. There were to be no crops planted, and the people were supposed to rest. No work was supposed to be done. The debts for that year, that seventh year, were to be released just for that year. But then every 50 years was a year of Jubilee when all the debts were to be completely canceled. If the people followed God's economic plan for them, poverty would be entirely eradicated from their nation. And this comes from Deuteronomy 15. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to whatever is owed to you by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as He promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not remain over you. They shall not reign over you. Canceling debts for a year, canceling debts entirely, and giving money to the poor doesn't make any sense financially. But God said, if you trust me and be obedient to me, you'll be blessed. Poverty would be non-existent in your culture. But how? By being generous, by being merciful, and by giving with a rejoicing heart. But guess what? It didn't work out that way for Israel. As far as anyone knows, never once in the entire history of the world did they celebrate the year of Jubilee and cancel all the debts. After all, there were bills to pay, budgets to keep. Consequently, the nation never did experience a release from poverty because it just didn't make sense to them. Just like Adonai's principles don't make sense to us sometimes, and we're all the poorer for it. If you do what the Lord commands, you'll be the financiers. the lenders rather than the borrowers, Moses told the people of Israel. The Jewish people did indeed become the great financiers of the world economy when, during the Middle Ages, an edict from the Pope forbade Christians from lending money. Thus, the Jews became the bankers of Europe. If we look closely, even today, we see huge banks, insurance companies, and other money-based organizations which have past or present Jewish ownership and management. And then again from Deuteronomy, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever he needs. Beware lest there is a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. I would love to see these verses written on a huge placard and displayed inside the front door of every bank in the land. Of course, we'll never see it. Most people only pay attention to the words of God that benefit them. However, if people would trust God and obey him, they would see that they completely benefit from their obedience. God says, be careful when the sixth year is coming that you don't refuse to lend money because it won't be paid back in the seventh. Rather, share and open your hand wide to the people who need help from you at any other time, no matter what year it may be. If you do this, if you don't close your heart and close your hand, I will bless you in whatever you do, God says. If you will have a generous heart and an open hand, watch and see how I'll bless you. He's asking us to test him and see what happens. God tells us once again in Deuteronomy 15 how he wants the people to present the sacrifices to him. He wanted them to be clean and without any blemish. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're told to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Adonai. But why does he accept us? We're blind, deaf, lame, and we're full of blemishes. We're acceptable only because we are covered by the blood of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Thank you, Yeshua, for your sacrifice to us. We do not deserve your tremendous grace. We have not earned your gift, but you take us as imperfect as we are. Let us remember to thank you every day for choosing us to live with you forever. Let us use the miracle gift of life to honor you by bringing others to your table. In your name, Yeshua, amen. Shabbat shalom.